My name is Mary Robinson. I'm the president of the Mary Robinson Foundation Climate Justice, and I'm also the special representative of the Secretary General on climate change until the Paris Agreement in December, or effectively until the end of December.
Ms. Robinson, what are some of the key challenges that climate change is posing for food production?
One of the challenges is the growth in the world population. We have a world population that's to reach 9 billion or so by 2050, and agricultural production will need to increase by something like 70% to meet that demand. But climate change compounds the problems because you have more frequent and intense natural disasters, more frequent and intense droughts, water is more scarce and difficult to access, the implications of people who are poor and already food insecure become more insecure. This is compounded by the fact that the people who have done least to cause the problem, which is the problem of greenhouse gas emissions through using cars and central heating and all kinds of other productive uses of fossil fuel energy, they don't do that, are suffering disproportionately and are in a way in the front line of the changes that are taking place already around our world. And obviously, when you talk about poor and you talk about climate impacts, there's a very strong gender dimension. And women have to be very much part of the solution to climate because they are at the moment suffering greatly from its impacts.
What is at stake at the Paris Climate Conference later this year?
I believe it's extraordinarily important now that we have the Sustainable Development Goals that we make them valid in accordance with the science of climate change, because we will not have sustainable development goals unless we have a climate agreement that puts us on course to stay below 2 degrees of warming from pre-industrial standards. So what we're asking for is a fair, ambitious and legally binding agreement in Paris to limit global warming as far below 2 degrees of warming as possible. We have the intended nationally determined contributions that most countries now in the world have been putting forward. And this is good because it means people are engaging. But we now know that won't be enough. That would have us at a 3 degree or more world. And this is not acceptable. I mean, we are talking about a catastrophic world where you would have changes that were irreversible with the Arctic and the Himalayas and monsoons not falling on India. Can you imagine? So we need to have an agreement which also recognises that the world is faced with enough pressure and cost of adaptation. So there will be more emphasis on supporting adaptation. And even, I hope, there will be reference to beyond adaptation, loss and damage.
Can you explain the concept of climate justice and how it relates to food security and the right to food?
Climate justice very much comes from a human rights perspective, links human rights, development and the impact of climate change, acknowledges something I said earlier, that the impacts of climate are felt most by those who are least responsible. And therefore, it wants them also to benefit from the access to renewable, affordable renewable energy, and that no one should be left behind this time. So when it comes to food security and the right to food, we want to really implement the commitment that those who are furthest back should be prioritised, if you like. I think we need to emphasise that the Sustainable Development Goals are universal. They're for all countries. And we need deep conversations in countries like Italy and my native Ireland, Europe generally, the United States, Korea, Japan, etc., so that we internalise. We must have much less food waste, much less overconsumption. We must have agriculture that is less causing emissions because it's part of the problem at the moment.
There's a wide agreement that climate change is a major problem that needs to be addressed. But it's also true that in the area of food production, climate change is at least temporarily creating both winners and losers. Can you explain this in more detail and how it influences the current debate?
I think it's true that in the very short term, there may be a perception that climate change is actually helping us, helping food production. It's actually a minority of countries. This is a very short-term view because the impacts of climate change on production of food, nutrition, but also health, shelter, life itself, displacement of people would be hugely negative if it gets out of control. And at the moment, we're on track for it to get out of control. I do compare it sometimes to the Titanic. You know, when the Titanic hit that ice, it wasn't just those in poor steerage, the poor people who went down. It was those in first class as well. I was in Fiji recently for a conference of small island states, and I was talking to the president of Kiribati and comparing my situation as a former president of Ireland with his situation. As former president of Ireland, I didn't have to think about buying land in Europe because Ireland was going to go underwater. He has had to buy land in Fiji because he says, I have to think about the possibility of migration with dignity of my people. He shouldn't have to think that. We should be saying no leader should have to think about that. We have to make sure it doesn't happen.
You spoke earlier about women facing specific vulnerabilities due to climate change. What are some of those vulnerabilities?
There are many vulnerabilities. A lot of them come from the role of women in the cultural role, if you like, in societies. They work on farms but don't own them. They don't own land. They don't have assets or training. They can be very vulnerable to natural disasters because they often have long skirts and can't run when there's flooding. And that has caused loss of life. They care so much about their children, they try to hang on to their children and save them naturally. There are very good studies now about the fact that women suffer disproportionately in these disasters that happen and that will be aggravated by climate change. The food being put on the table is very often the responsibility of the woman. Water is her responsibility. If there's drought, she has to go further to get water, further to get firewood, etc. So it really impacts disproportionately and in a way that is a very significant human rights issue. And my foundation is the secretariat of a group of women leaders on climate change who are addressing these issues. And I'm glad to say when we get together as women leaders on climate, we really do address very urgently the fact that there's a huge gender dimension to climate change.
Ms. Robinson, thank you very much for joining us today.
Pleasure.